Welcome to another episode of Building Success Stories. Today, we're stepping out of the studio and into a local landmark that smells of fresh wax and Adirondack pine. We are at the Alpine Sports Shop in Saratoga Springs to sit down with owners Jack and Kathy Hay. This isn't just a business for Jack and Kathy. It's a lifelong love story that started right here in the community. The pair actually met as teammates on the Saratoga High School ski team back in 1968. Since then, they've carried on a legacy that began in 1941, eventually taking over the shop from Kathy's parents and moving it into the beautiful European chalet-style building Kathy's father designed himself. Now, today's episode is going to feel a little different. We're taking you on a live tour through the shop, from the boot fitting room to the basement where the magic happens with their high-tech tuning machine. Because we're on the move, you might notice the audio quality shifts as we walk through the building. You'll also hear Jack getting pulled away from time to time to assist customers and handle the day-to-day hustle of a busy ski season. It's an authentic, behind-the-scenes look at what it takes to run a family business for over 7 decades. So grab a coffee, imagine you're sitting by their shop's famous fireplace, and let's jump into the tour.
So we're just going to go down and take a quick key, and we'll come back up to
here.
Right. We're so fortunate. The two guys in Basie Town, both retired, and they are skiers, so they're... Oh, this is for binding adjustment. And then he's going to be mounting some screens there. But all this over here, that's for tunes. And
those are all the testing. All the orders.
These are just for tunes. And then behind us, these are new screens that need binding. And then Tim is in.
Got it.
Team. This was a big deal. We purchased this right around. Year after COVID, but you have to continue to upgrade and save these. It's like an automatic car pump. So Tim loads it, and it's doing the engines.
Yeah.
And there, that's box on the front of it. However, maybe someone wants different angles to the edges. But it's pretty fascinating. So they've got a great system.
I know.
The other room was just all skis. Like in this room, just finished work for me.
Oh, yeah.
Right. Even in there. And some of this is rental.
Okay.
And then more finished work.
Uh-huh.
And then these are rentals, too, that we're getting pretty picked over at this time.
Right. Yeah. Do people tend to do it for the whole season?
Yeah. We don't do it anything less anymore. Okay. Some of these are like,
it's too much in and out.
Yeah. Like, then you got to tune them and do all that.
Yeah.
So we just do it for the season, and it's really reasonable. $259 for an adult. They have until like,
for
Started doing it in August, and then kids are like $120.
So are you the original owners, or did you take over?
My parents bought Alpine 1966 when it was on Spring Street on the old Skidmore College campus. And they were big customers then, Skidmore was. All girls school, and Alpine sold clothing, like skirts, blazers, a variety of nice apparel. And then the ski shop was downstairs. And then when the campus moved, my dad wanted to move along with them, so found this piece of property. And then he designed the Alpine here himself in 68. So I met this guy on ski team in Saratoga High at about 68. So it's worked out well. Quite a while. My parents are have cast over now. Yeah. So we've been here quite a while.
And
we've got fantastic employees. So we all kind of put our heads together.
That's important, right?
And you get creative. And, for sure.
So Kathy was just filling me in on how that her parents had taken over the original. So 66. how long did it go back before then?
1941 was when Ed Taylor
opened. Yeah.
So he had it for 25 years. Mm-hmm. Kath's parents bought it in 1966.
Ted and his wife, Joe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. She's clothing upstairs.
And then they relocated to here in 1968.
Yeah, my parents did.
Kathy's dad designed and built the building to be a ski shop.
Yeah.
So it has that feel.
It definitely does. Yeah, real Adirondack.
He had a good vision. Right. The whole, kind of like a European chalet.
Right. And we're here in front of the fireplace. Right? Nice.
The best, yeah.
Yeah, that's perfect. So you two met on the Saratoga High School ski team?
Yeah, we did.
And all this time later, you're here running it. When did you actually, did you work here all along? Or
I started here in 1970.
1970.
The year before we got married. Part-time.
Yeah.
And then I went to Skidmore, and I worked here part-time for those 5 or 6 years at Skidmore. That they supported me the whole time.
I didn't work here. It's like, I didn't want to work for my parents.
Yeah, right.
I was at a savings and loan in Saratoga.
So that's good. You got business background.
Yeah. Then, my dad died instantly at 64, and we were both working here full time at that time.
Mm-hmm. 88
people, it worked out very well.
Yeah. So you'd been in here already, so
yeah.
It was an easier transition.
It was weird, but, especially
for my mom.
Yeah.
She was around a while. Weird. Yeah. Yeah. So how did you find, did you have lots of ideas like before that you were thinking, if I was the boss, this is what I would do, or?
No.
No?
He liked to be in the basement.
Kind of got more and more responsibility from Kath's dad.
Yeah.
As far as, well, maybe do the advertising and then doing signage. I wasn't really ready, but, things happen.
Yeah, right. Sometimes that's the best way to do it, though. That if you were planning it yourself, you might never think you're ready.
Right.
But then when you kind of have to do it, you realize, oh, yeah, I could do this.
One of the really interesting things that happened was in around 1994, we got a call from a travel agent. Said, I'm thinking about doing a trip to Europe. You guys want to try to sell it for me? Never even been to Colorado, much less Europe. Oh, we said, I've said no. And Kathy and her sister Lynn were here.
Lynn said no.
Yeah, we'll do it. So our first trip, we started doing ski trips in 1994. And we took 84 people.
Wow, that's a lot.
And it was a lot.
Really? Where in Europe did you go?
$895 round trip.
With everything? Wow.
So it worked out so well. I mean, it was a little overwhelming, but we started doing ski trips. So the next year we went back to Innsbruck. I think we went 3 years in a row to Innsbruck. Yeah.
People just wanted to be on that trip.
Yeah.
So we were doing trips to Europe, and we thought, well, let's do a domestic trip. I think this is our 49th trip we're doing this year. And our daughter Julia now is the group leader. She's taking a group of 42 to Innsbruck. We've been all over the country, all over Europe. We even went to South America for one trip.
Oh, wow. Yeah, because there's mountains.
Yeah.
Places you don't think of South America as for skiing, but right.
They're seasons opposite.
Yeah.
So we took people down there at Fortillo in September.
Oh, wow.
And Lori's going this time, the woman that's fitting boots, but Carolyn's gone. We've all gone on the trip, variety of trips. We do not do every trip. Yeah. It's been wonderful because you're taking your customers and they have to come back to us for their needs. And it takes the work out of it for them.
Yeah. And it just adds that another branch to what you're offering here. And it's fun.
It really is. And
build relationships.
But they do.
That's really exciting.
It's so nice. And they create friends. They do off-season bike tours and stuff like that.
Oh, yeah.
We're not involved in it, but they make new friends in it. It's very nice.
That's great. Yeah. So technology has changed a little bit, but I mean, skis still look basically the same. But I know over years, trends have been shorter, longer of poles and skis and all that.
But now skis are shorter and wider, although it's trending back to narrower skis. Wider skis are great if you're in soft snow, but we don't get a lot of soft snow.
Yeah.
Most people are happier on slightly narrower ski for skiing on groomed trails.
Right. For what we have around here. Yeah. And you've got snowboards now also.
Yep, we've been snowboarding since the late 80s. Yeah.
Jack built the building next to us for our snowboard shop years ago.
So is it a separate, the snowboard shop? Oh, it was.
And at that time, we sold bikes too. Yeah. Things evolved and we got rid of the bikes and brought all the snowboards in. So now the snowboards
are over there.
And our neighbor rents that. That's her hair salon.
Oh, okay.
So it works out great, but you know.
Nice little building, and she lives two doors down, so
it's handy, right? That's good. And then, so you have family that are working in the business.
We have two daughters. One teaches school in Corinth, and then Julia is full time here, and she has been for years.
Yeah,
just transitioning. She does sewing with me and bookkeeping too.
So she's learning everything, all the parts of the business.
IT girl.
Yes. Yeah. You need one of them, right? It's important. Yeah.
So dependent on computer.
So that's the thing, because over these 40 some years, or actually 60 some years, things have changed so much, but you keep up with the time. So she'll then eventually carry on.
Jack.
Yes.
So yeah, we don't have another Jack.
Right. She didn't meet anyone on the ski team.
She didn't. Her husband is a skier, but he's got a great job. And and our other daughter, her husband worked here for a while, for about 5-7 years. But again, you know, it's a modest income. So they both have great jobs.
Yeah.
You know, I know Greg really liked this job better
than
being behind a computer out there.
It's a common issue with businesses, family-owned businesses, too, that like not. The children don't always want to take over, or they may not be suited for it either. But when you are a family business, it has that different feel to it, you know, because you trust your family rather than bringing in somebody. It takes a while to build that trust, doesn't it?
Yeah. And just the knowledge and learning. But Julia would very happily. Yeah, we just need a guy.
Well, you don't always need a guy, but.
Right. We had a girl that I thought was thought groomed perfectly to take over the management. Then she decided she didn't want to be in the ski business anymore. And she said, gave me my 2 weeks notice and left.
Because it is very specialized.
Yeah. She was good at it. Yeah. Very knowledgeable.
All the guys that work here and Lori, they're all retired. They already have their career.
They're
not looking to take over another.
No. So it's finding some young, ambitious person.
Yes. And like you say, male or female.
And spend some time working with you so they can learn what they need to learn about the business.
Lori is our best salesperson for hard goods. She knows more about skis and boots than anybody else.
Yeah.
More than me, more than the guys in the She loves it. She's so good at it, and she loves it. But she only works 2 or 3 days a week. Yeah.
More, but it's been about 16 years.
Nice to have that dedication, loyalty. You don't want to work as many hours, do you, really?
This is something that happened, fortunately.
Yeah.
I say fortunately, but with COVID, we started to cut back our hours.
Yeah.
We used to be open from 9:30 in the morning till 9 at night.
Yeah.
With COVID, we dropped back to opening at 10 and closing at 5.
Yeah.
And no Sundays. So we back our hours almost 25%.
Yeah.
We haven't. Added on to that, we haven't expanded our hours. We opened Sundays and we told and our business has stayed the same. It actually went up.
Yeah.
When we cut back our hours, it went up because we were busier for those hours.
People made a point of, because I think if you think it's open, I'll get there sometime.
Time to close.
But then when you know, I have to make a point of going there.
And we started doing appointments too during COVID, and that's worked out really well.
Not everything like sales of boots and skis, but now, and people can just walk in, of course, and they'll get.
Yeah.
But we do about 800-850 ski leases for the season.
Yeah.
Come in
that's a lot.
You better.
Right. A whole family. So that's good to know to set up an appointment for something like that. Well, even if you're buying skis, right, it's not just a quick decision, is it?
And you want to be able to ask questions.
Yeah.
And there's so many specific like, you know, certain brands will have more than one, lots of models.
Yeah.
And so you just kind of have to tweak it, find out
what
trails they want to be on, what type of skier, and then you can get an appropriate ski for them.
Yeah.
Rather than just
whatever.
They're going to be unhappy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And you mentioned before about the prices for rentals. What's the range of pricing for skis? I can imagine you could pay almost anything.
Well, they're very set.
Yeah.
A couple years ago, we started 5 and under, they're free.
Oh, okay.
And then for kids, up until they're like an 8 shoe, mm-hmm. put them into an adult package. Kids are like 119 for the season.
Yeah.
And that's your skis, your boots, and your poles. And then adults, it's $259 a season.
Mm-hmm.
That's
mm-hmm.
So it's a great value.
Well, it's nice you do free for the little ones. Yeah.
Get, you know, and then, you know, you kind of get that customer used to them, but we've already run out of those.
Yeah.
You know, that's different.
Right. But for buying skis, what does the price range go? That's why I said I could imagine.
Really, there's so many prices there. But I would say a good beginner package would be probably around $600 or $700.
Mm-hmm.
And they're broken down. That doesn't include boots. So it's a ski.
Okay.
So like the Stokely's here, you can go $1,500 or more,
uh-huh.
or a little low.
Yeah.
It's a Swiss-made ski. It takes uh-huh. 2 weeks to build that ski, and they're very specific.
Yeah.
People, you know, depending on, they know
uh-huh.
and when they hear, you know, a certain brand very popular. If they're really in love with skiing,
uh-huh.
they will go for it.
Yeah.
And they love the performance uh-huh. of it. So that's great.
Yeah. So as someone gets more into it, more serious about it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They're going to be more particular about the ski. Yeah.
And lots of times people will come in and trade up, you know, after a couple of years.
Yeah.
And sometimes we do take skis back and then we can put them in our rental fleet.
Too. That's a good idea.
Get some older stuff.
Yeah.
And boot fitting is very precise. You know, we can heat mold.
It was always the problem I had. Same thing with ice skating. I don't know if it's something to do with my foot shape or something, mm-hmm. but I just could not find anything that wasn't painful.
That's just not.
So maybe now, after all these years, because this, like I said, I haven't skied since high school. That was a while ago.
Yeah.
So maybe now with better mm-hmm. technology.
And we sell foot beds.
Lots yeah, foot beds, maybe that's it.
You have a high arch, a specific uh-huh. foot bed, lower one. Again, yeah, measuring and just we send our employees to clinics for boot fitting.
Yeah. Because it's important when you're out all day,
yeah.
right? There's a lot of pressure on your feet.
Yeah. And you want the customer and the employee to feel confident in what they're doing.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. And we have cross country too. And
I should have asked about that.
And that's been doing well.
Because that got very popular during COVID.
And everything, it's like during COVID, at the end of that season, our racks were just about empty because people needed to get out.
To get outside. Yeah.
We do snowshoes.
Uh-huh.
We don't rent them any longer. We used to rent them.
So you sell snowshoes.
Yeah, we do sell.
Anything else along those lines? I'm trying to think what else.
Yeah, snowshoes, cross country, down. Uh-huh.
And you've got a range of clothing, nice mm-hmm. clothing, I see.
Good layers.
Uh-huh.
You know, for,
you it's know, important.
And this lifestyle clothing.
Yeah. That's great. So you said you open in August?
We do the third week of August.
Third week of August.
Every year is when we reopen.
For people to start, get ready.
And we have an email blast that goes out.
Okay.
You just send, a fold out Coronet Press or Advantage Press to make the paper.
Yeah.
You know, and we'd have it all labeled and stamped and all that. It's much more efficient to do it.
Right now, very different.
Yeah.
But sometimes it's nice to get a piece of paper in the mail.
Yeah.
But
we don't do it
anymore. No, it's just so much easier.
So frequent.
Keeping up.
You know, I get so many back.
Yeah, that is hard to keep up with.
So, emails are good.
Yeah. And then you close when?
This year is the 5th of April.
So by that point, skiing is done.
Maybe. People will try to push it. And sometimes people with their leashes will call and say, can I keep them a couple more weeks? So it's like, sure.
That's good.
But then when we close and the leashes are back, then these two men in the basement, they're busy tuning up.
Getting them ready. That's good for the next season.
To do it.
Yeah.
So grateful. And they make their own hours. You know, come in on their own and just do it. So
they seem real dedicated. Yeah.
Retired teacher, and Mark had Snap-on tool business.
Yeah. Love so you're lucky speak. To have good dedicated staff, because so many people say that's hard these days, but I think you've built relationships with them over the years.
We're very fortunate. Those men have been with us for 4 years. So thank goodness. Yeah. Terry Lynn has been with us about 30 years. Joya, our daughter, she's 44. Uh-huh. I mean, I used to bring her to work.
Yeah. So she learned by osmosis, probably, right? But just being around it, I think. But when do you get, you're not open on Sundays any longer, so you can ski on Sundays.
We can, and we'd rather take a little time in mitigation when there's not so many.
Yeah, right. Where do you go?
West is convenient on Killington. We used to do bus trips from our shop, and then that was before COVID.
So we
used to do like 12 for a year, and that was a lot.
To go over to Vermont.
We'd do Sunday bus trips.
Yeah. And people loved them. Our suppliers would donate gifts on the way home.
Nice.
Like we'd open up early and there'd be coffee and orange juice and tea and fruit and donuts, and then head over to the mountain and get there, and people would just disperse. You have the day to themselves back at the bus like at 4. And then we'd show a Warren Miller ski movie on the way home. Surprises. So people loved
it. A lot of fun. That was before COVID?
Before.
Yeah. You haven't brought that back.
Well, since COVID, so many areas now offer seasons passes that be a more affordable way for people to ski, whether it's Gore or the Epic Icon Pass, depending on where you want to ski. So, as we were before COVID, it was people were buying the season passes. So now we're interested in going to Okemo for a day and then up to Killington for another day.
Gore, that kind of started with Gore and Whiteface. They'd leave their skis at the mountain in the locker.
So you don't have to worry about bringing them every time.
But boy, they cried the blues. It's like, we wish you did your bus trips to, we couldn't fill the bus.
The years we had a waiting, we for the first 10 years, we did bus trips. We'd sell it out within a week when we offered it.
Yeah.
And then we'd have a waiting list. People wanted to go on it. Towards the later years, we'd be lucky to get 25 or 30 people for a bus.
We used to do about 50.
It's interesting how it changes.
Yeah.
But I guess more people have vehicles now where they could drive comfortably, or people do weekends away now too. It seems like everybody wants to do a weekend away. Like if you're going to go over there, you'd probably go for the whole weekend.
Yeah. Our friends bought places up at North Creek because they go there every weekend.
We're really.
Gore's expanding. They're doing a lot up there.
People did like the bus trips because, they could. We'd stop at a grocery store when we leave the mountain, so they could get anything they wanted to eat.
That's what it sounded like.
And there's still some very active ski clubs in the Capital District that still do bus trips. That's not what we do anymore.
One less thing for you to worry about.
We did. Jack would come down at 5 o'clock, start.
5 o'clock in the morning, I'd come down and start making the coffee. We had to go get the donut.
It was fun while it lasted. In the 80s, late 70s, 80s, we had an indoor ski deck in here.
Oh, okay.
So we taught skiing for 8 years.
Oh, really? Wow. Oh, that's amazing.
Yeah, the deck actually went from up over Kathy's office. Oh, wow. You see that line of ski boots up there.
Yeah.
All the way down into the foyer.
Oh, wow. Let me take a picture.
And then this is the gentleman that started it, Cliff Taylor, my dad.
He started the ski thing.
Yeah, it's not easy.
No. Pine has always, even when Ted and Joe had the Alpine shop, they always did business with the Adirondack Trust Company.
Yeah.
And Farley Waite was on ski team with it. But, and then his dad, Ned Waite, brother. But these were Charlie's dad's skis up on
them. Oh, wow.
And they always hit our back on those bad years. Like, even with COVID, it was such an amazing boost. We bought that Wintersteiger tuning machine, no loan.
Oh, wow.
Massive amount.
Mm-hmm.
We've had to get out.
Yeah.
And it was time to upgrade. Negative, not the hardest thing, I think, for small business or independent brick and mortar ski shops is people shopping online. Too many skis on the market, like, you know, years ago when we were younger, there weren't many companies. There were Head, Rossignol, Nordica, you know, VR17, there's all these other, but now it's a huge number of companies and they sell online
direct
against their stores. Yeah. That's, and people bring equipment they've purchased online and want us to match it. And so, then, you know, it's like, we don't charge when you purchase here.
It's part of the package, But if, so they bring them in, so they get the skis and the bindings separate, because the bindings have to fit your boot, right? So that's why they have to be fit.
Did say
they have to be specifically fit.
No, my head tailor and my father. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Sure, they're rolling over in their
dreams. Right, when they see all that.
There's just too much out there.
Yeah.
But it's like clothing. There's too much.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. But there's something to say for having somebody experienced to help you pick and to fit.
And then saying, these boots are killing me. It will charge you. You have to charge you $50 an hour to undo what
it's been done. Have it done right. But for the most part, you've got loyal customers. You probably have generations of families.
And even sometimes, you know, once in a while, somebody will walk in the front door and say, I learned how to ski in here.
And that brings us to the end of our tour through the Alpine Sports Shop. I want to give a huge thank you to Jack and Kathy Hay for letting us wander through the racks, peek into the tuning room, and even hang out by the fireplace. If you're in the Saratoga Springs area, be sure to stop by and say hello and maybe get a professional tune-up before you hit the slopes. Thanks for listening to this unique on-the-move episode. We'll be back next time with another story of local grit and success. Until then, stay active and keep building your success stories, now a part of the North Country Media Network.